Is presented by the writers and illustrators of the future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for the creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Tonight we welcome back award-winning author Leah Ning. We're going to talk about writing and inspiration and all kinds of great stuff. Here's Leah. Hi, Leah. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sherry. It's good to be back.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I've had a rough winter so far, but otherwise, I'm fine. I had the flu.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had the flu.
That's rough. I'm sorry. Luckily, I have escaped the flu so far. Hopefully, I continue to do so.
Yeah, this one's nasty, because I have a flu shot, so you're supposed to be lesser if you have a flu shot. If this was lesser, I hate to find out what it was like when somebody didn't have a shot at all.
Yeah, good thing you got it, I guess.
Yeah, because, oh my God, it really hit me bad.
Oof,
yeah, and apparently it's all over. I heard that the same flu is in Europe, and it's all over the place.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing as well. It's a nasty one this year.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, we do not.
We do not. Come on, Mother Nature, give us a break.
For real, though.
I know. Weather and flu combined sort of is difficult. So it's been, yeah. I was going to write. I have stuff that I have to write. So I took off the last 2 weeks of December for writing. What I did was spend it in bed.
Oh, no, of course.
You know,
that's terrible.
You know the old saying, when you plan something, God laughs? Well, that's what he did.
That is exactly what happened, huh?
Yeah.
I do have some good news, though.
What's your good news?
My good news is that I have become one of the new first readers for Writers of the Future.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'm pretty excited. We're looking to grow the team a little bit to hopefully kind of take off some of the pressure that has been happening, because there's so many stories being submitted, right? I mean, it's just crazy. And so we're hoping to get a few more people on the team so that we can hopefully take some of the pressure off of, like, what any one single person doing the reading, and hopefully get responses out a little faster, which should be nice for everybody.
Yeah. So, first reader, what does that mean? You read it to see if it makes the grade, and then you pass it on to the judges?
Essentially, yeah. So what we're doing is we're kind of going through the entire set of stories that get sent into the contest every quarter, and we are looking to see, like, okay, is this something that Jody, the head judge, is going to want to see? Like, is this a potential honorable mention? Is this a potential silver honorable mention? So that she's not having to go through the absolutely crazy amount of stories that are getting sent into the contest every quarter by herself. And so we're essentially weeding out the things that she doesn't need to have eyes on so that she can focus on the things that are going to earn certificates that quarter.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. So you're not going to be reading books for a while.
I know. I have to, like, set out time for myself. Every morning, like, when I have breakfast, I have to have my book that I'm reading at the breakfast table so that I can have some time to read some books for myself.
I know. Because I read so many books for the podcast and stuff, I just have to have a book just for me.
You really do. You really do. And it helps you be fair to the other things that you're reading too, because if all you're reading all the time is submissions and things for work, then you almost like get bored of reading. And the stuff that you read for you kind of helps you get yourself back on track so that you're like, okay, yeah, I do enjoy reading. I do like this. This is a fun time.
I know, exactly. So, are you reading anything now that's yours that's private?
I'm actually rereading a young adult book that I used to read a lot when I was a teenager, just because sometimes, like, when there's a lot of stuff going on, I like to reread things because they're like nostalgic. It's called Strange Angels by Lily St. Crowe. It's not like, I like it a lot just because it's not the voice that I'm super used to hearing in young adult novels. But I've also got some stuff on my list. I just had a very cute Secret Santa exchange with a writing group that I'm in, and I got a few books from that exchange, and I think probably the one that I'm going to read first is John Dies at the End. I don't know if that's, there's a movie for it as well, which I have also not seen. I don't know if you've heard of it before.
No, I haven't.
It looks excellent. It looks
Really?
right up my alley.
Okay, sounds cool. Yeah, I just finished the it's a comedy romance, but it's not really romance. It's more it's like a comedy with everybody kind of in the town going crazy.
That sounds interesting.
It's called Miss Bunkle's Book, and she writes a book, and it's based on her neighbors. And because she changes their names, she thinks that nobody will recognize themselves. But everybody recognizes themselves, and they all go
Of
cuckoo.
course. Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
Because some people are treated really well because they're good people, and I mean, it's like holding a mirror up to you. So the people who are good, they don't have a problem. And the people that aren't, which are the more powerful people in the village, they're nasty.
Of course they are. And that's not comfortable to see.
There's this one character who doesn't recognize himself at all. He says it reminds him of somebody. He's a military man, and he says it sounds like somebody from his when he was in the military from his unit. He doesn't know it's him at
Well,
all.
he's not wrong. Technically, he is not wrong.
Well, it is fiction. I mean, because she does have a twist in the book, which I won't tell because it's a spoiler. That is what causes the havoc in the village in the book. And that part, she did use imagination. She just doesn't realize it's imagination.
Ah,
But it's
okay.
so cute, and it's so delightfully written, and it's so funny, and it's just. I couldn't stop reading it. I mean, I think I was up until 1 a.m. the night I read it. I just kept reading.
I love those books though, and like they can keep you up until 1 a.m. And sometimes you really just need a palate cleanser, because I'm a darker reader, I think. I like to read a lot of horror. I like to read a lot of thrillers and things like that. But sometimes you just need something cute, you know?
I know. And this was just so funny. It was just, it was just really, really funny. It's just, people are so weird.
They really are, though.
I mean, it's very true to life, and the people are weird thing that she got it. Dee Stevenson understands people.
You kind of have to, though, when you write.
Yeah,
Like,
that's true.
if you don't understand people super well, you're not going to do as good of a job, I think, at writing something that's going to pull people in.
Yeah, but she does it delightfully and funny.
Excellent. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got a good one.
Yeah, I borrowed it from Libby, the library app. I actually, it was weird because it was recommended on BookTube that I was watching, and I was really, I needed the palate cleanser. And I looked
Yeah.
on Libby, and it was there, and it was available now. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is kismet!"
Of course. Perfect. That's such good timing.
Yeah, I know. So And then I read it in one night, and they must have been happy because you get it for 21 days, and I sent it back the next day.
Nice. Yeah, whoever was next on the list must have been very happy about that.
Yeah. But isn't that funny that it was available?
Yeah.
Just the timing of it. I needed something like that, though. I really did. It was I needed something funny and adorable, and this was both. Like you said, you need that every once in a while.
You really do. You really do. Otherwise, you just get into too many dark things, and it's, you know, sometimes, like, especially when life's going a little crazy, you just need something to be, you know what, no, this is safely fluffy. I can just go read it, and it will be perfectly fine.
I know. I know. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm doing, well, it's not dark, but I'm doing research for a play based on the romance of Vivien Leigh and Laurence Olivier. And it is dark because it's about her bipolar, which was undiagnosed because they didn't know what it was and how stupidly they treated it. So that part is really dark. But what I love about Vivien Leigh is how bright she was. It just, she was actually a genius. I mean, not only was she a great actress, but she just was, she read everything. And she, you know, she could do the London Times crossword puzzle in pencil. No, in ink, black ink, you know.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And she could do the New York Times one, too. When she was in America, she did that. She just was really smart. And what's really interesting is Olivier was smart, too, but he wasn't intellectual. She was very intellectual, and that was one of their problems in their romance. But isn't that interesting?
That's super interesting.
She was such a great actress, and she was so beautiful. You know, people discount people who are beautiful as not smart. And yet, if it wasn't for somebody like Hedy Lamarr, who was one of the great beauties, she was of the same time as Vivien Leigh, we wouldn't have cell phones. She actually created the something, I can't remember what it is because I'm not technical, but something within the cell phone. She was actually doing it for the war effort. She wanted to make it easier for submarines to contact secretly the U.S. base or the, you know, British base. And so she made, she worked with a pianist, and the two of them worked out some kind of a thing, and she sent it in, she copyrighted it, and then she sent it into the Navy. And they just said, oh, it's from Hedy Lamarr. What the hell is she knew? They stuck it in a file. And
oh, that's so dumb.
I know. So it was like, I think they were going through the files in the 60s or the 50s. Mm-hmm. It's when they were working on computers that they were going through the files, and they found it. And they found that it was very, very good and very brilliant. And basically, it went into our cell phone technology. That's why we have cell phones. Say thank you, Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah, it's interesting how stuff like that happens. Where, like, and I mean, she completely intended it to be for military purposes, and somehow it ended up as cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how things like that kind of, like, even though she got ignored, it still ended up being such a huge part of what we do today.
She would be so pleased, because I know she was, well, that was one of her great disappointments. I've read her autobiography. She was a wonderful lady. She liked to tinker. You know, they thought, oh, she's a movie star, she's beautiful, she's out with men all the time. She was home tinkering with experiments and stuff.
Yeah, it's like all those artists that their paintings don't get famous until after they die.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, yeah. And people just discount people because, oh, they're too ugly, oh, they're too pretty, oh, they're, you know, they're fat, so they're lazy, or blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you have to really, like consider the work without, I mean, there's a certain point to which, right, you don't necessarily want to consume art or work by certain people because they're just not great people and you don't want to be giving money to that. But there is a certain extent to which you really do want to try to consume the art without making judgments on it based on the person as well. Like, going back to the contest again, I like the fact that they do anonymized submissions because there's no name attached to it. You have no idea what, if any, publication history they have. You are just looking at that story and you are straight up judging it on, is that a good story or is that not a good story? I don't care who wrote it. I don't care where it came from. I don't care who it came from. Is it a good story? Did they do a good job?
That's also something that there's such an ageism that it's really good that they do that because people,
Yeah.
you know, oh, this person is in their 60s. What the heck do they know about this stuff? So, booey, and then throw it aside.
And it's the same for young people too. Like, I know quite a few teenage writers actually, and I know that there's one of them, Hermione Lee, who's gotten a ton of books published, whether she's self-publishing, and I know that she's got a publisher. I think it's an indie publisher, but like, she's got a ton of books published. She does a good job. And you know, if you knew her age, as you're looking at her submissions, like that might make people wonder if it's going to be a good story in the first place. Whereas if you've got an anonymous submission, you have no idea how old she is. And you can just judge the quality of the story on the quality of the story.
And yet, there are people who wrote young, who had these amazing careers that are wrote classics. Mary Shelley, I think she was 16 when she wrote Frankenstein.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd heard of that.
I mean, they were either young 20 or teenagers of the four people that were at that chalet when she wrote that book. But she was, I think, I'm not sure if it was her sister or her, one of them was, I think she was the youngest, but they were both teenage girls. And Shelley and Byron were like 21, 22. They were all very young. And yet they
Right.
had, and Byron already had a career. And I think he was like 20. He was the oldest one in the group. I think he was like 22. And, you know, he already had a career. I mean, he had been writing his poetry for years. You know?
Yeah, that's wild. People like that are so impressive. It's like, how did you get to that point at that age? When I was that age, I was still like figuring out if being goth was just a phase, you know?
It's so funny. I remembered when I was in college, and one of the girls in my class was a punk girl, really nice girl, but you wouldn't know it from the way she dressed. And no one else in it was an English class, and no one else talked to her. And I was sitting next to her, and I'd say hi, and she'd say hi, and she'd give me a beautiful smile, like, oh, she's a nice girl. And I became friends with her. People shouldn't judge people by what they look like or how they dress or what their age is. You judge them
Exactly.
by whether they're a good person.
Exactly. It goes right back to what we were talking about. It doesn't matter what she's got on. She's a nice girl.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Who cares? I actually thought the way they dressed was cool. I was more, when I was a teen, I was more, you know, I wanted to look pretty.
Totally fair.
I mean, I wasn't a beauty by any stretch of the imagination at
Oh,
all,
please.
but I did like to wear pretty clothes.
I mean, of course.
So I was like the complete opposite. In college, I was wearing, it was the 80s, so I was wearing whatever was cool in the early 80s. You know, I can't even remember. That tells you how old I am. I think it was like the there's, you know how there's a transition between the decades? I think it was like the tail end of what people wore at the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s. So it had,
Gotcha.
you know, just like the 60s, if you look at the early 60s, it was more like the 50s, and then slowly it became what the famous clothes for the 60s was. Well, the 70s was the same. When it started, was like it was like the 60s, and then it slowly became the 70s, and the 80s was the same. It's really interesting if you really look at the fashion, like the flapper fashion from the 20s didn't come until mid 20s. Like, we're in 24. This is about the time that people started dressing like flappers. Isn't
Wild.
that interesting? I always thought that was one of the more interesting parts of fashion, and the part that nothing's new under the sun. Every time there was a quote unquote new style, oh, my mom would go, oh, I used to wear that. Oh, I used to wear that.
Yeah, like you always see that happen. I think, like, I know high-waisted jeans, I guess, are in fashion now. I don't know. Listen, I'm sitting here in a t-shirt and sweatpants with a cat on my lap, so I can't tell you a whole lot about fashion, but I know high-waisted jeans are supposed to be back in fashion, and I know, like, everybody and their mother is like, well, I used to wear that, and now it's back. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I know. And high-waisted jeans only look good on certain people. I never wore them because they just didn't look good on me. It made me
I
look
feel that.
it made me look like I had no hips, no body.
I feel that in my soul.
So no, I stuck to normal jeans, the normal cut. Good old Levi.
Yeah. I stick to the like mid-rise jeans and we call it at
Yeah.
that.
I did love bell bottoms. That's and I kept wearing them longer than I was supposed to. I used to get criticized in high school because I was wearing bell bottoms in the late 70s, and
Oh
nobody wears them. We're in straight leg pants.
Yeah, I mean, skinny jeans were the thing when I was in school. I still wear them because they're comfortable, I guess.
I know. I mean, I think it's one when I was 14 or 15, they were the thing, and I love them because I don't know, it's sort of like wearing a dress that was jeans, so you were completely protected, but
That's a good point.
you know, but it had that flow that you
Yeah,
have
I
with a
mean,
long
like when you
skirt.
twirl around in a dress and you get the flappy thing.
Yeah, and when you have, well, you know, toward the end, the bell buttons were big, and so when you did it, it was like, whee!
Could you actually get the skirt twirl on a pair of bell bottoms?
Sure.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Well, you have to bring one leg up.
Well, yeah, but you could do it, was the point.
Yeah, well, I was into ballet and jazz and tap and all kinds of dancing, so
There you
yeah,
go.
I definitely could do it. And I could jitterbug because my father taught my brother and I how to jitterbug, so I could do that
That's
too.
super cool.
I could
I
jitterbug
love it.
and I could do the Charleston. Different
Yay!
generation. That was a different
You already
generation
got
than
me
my
beat.
father, but I still do. I have this passion for the 20s. And so I would watch these shows and copy the way they did different dances.
That's really cool, though. I can't dance worth anything, so that's
Well,
super cool to me.
in the 80s, they had a lot of shows like Agatha Christie and Dorothy Sayers and people like I'm a Mystery Nut. And they had a lot of them set in the 20s, and a lot of the series was playing in the 80s. So, I fell in love with Tommy and Tuppence Beresford from Agatha Christie, and I wanted to be Tuppence, and I would dress like her. I would dress like her for Halloween, and
I love it. That's perfect.
I was a nerd. I'm still a nerd. I'm just always be I'll always be a nerd and a geek.
That's okay though. You know what? Being a nerd is like in fashion now, I guess.
I know. When I was
You can like science, you can like computers, you can watch anime, and people don't make fun of you anymore.
I know, I know. I know, and you can read fan fiction, and...
Yeah, there you go. Now it's cool, because all the nerds are going off to computers and making money.
Yeah, exactly. But it was it when I was a kid.
Oh, same.
Yeah, no, I was called a nerd and a geek and all kinds of names like that. And it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't like, oh, I'm a geek. Oh, I'm a nerd. Now it's a badge of honor. When I was a kid, it was not nice. That's how the world has changed.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I even had that in an adult life. I remember I was shopping with this woman, and I thought she was my friend, but I don't. And I found out she really wasn't. She was in this office, and went across the street to the mall, and we went into a jewelry store because I love jewelry, and I picked out this necklace, and I thought it was really pretty. I love different kinds of stuff. I don't stick with whatever is fashionable. Even though it was a cheap fashion jewelry type store, it was mm-hmm. Accessory Lady, which was every mall. And so this was in like 2015 or something, and I pulled down the necklace, and she goes, "Well, yes, you've always had different tastes."
Oh,
I was like. Oh,
that's the thing to say.
God, that's when I realized, okay, I'm wrong about you.
Yep. No, thank you. All set.
Yeah.
We are done.
Yeah. Yeah, she found out. All of a sudden, my father and I weren't talking to her. We worked at the same company, and my dad worked at the same company, so she knew my dad, too. And all of a sudden, she found my dad and I weren't talking to her.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why.
Except for professionally, of course.
Right.
But, and nice. I never treated her not nice, but I just distanced myself. No more going out to lunch, no more of that.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. I mean, I had been hurt enough, so I knew exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. But isn't that mean? Isn't that a nasty thing to say to somebody when you're supposed to be girls out shopping?
Right? I mean, like... I go out with my girlfriends shopping, and we are the people who will go to the store and pick out the absolute most hideous things we can find and try them on and take pictures of them and use them as blackmail later. Not really, but, you know, how it is. But it's for fun. Like, you're supposed to be out there for fun.
You're supposed to be supporting each other. That's what you're supposed to be, women supporting women. And I don't,
absolutely.
And I don't like it when women don't support women.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be there having a good time together.
I know.
Have a good time.
I know. So, okay. So, I know you're a first reader, and I'm really happy for you about Writers of the Future, but how's your writing going?
My writing is going really well. I have had a whole grunt load of short stories published in places like Apex Magazine and Beneath Ceaseless Skies and Podcastle. I've actually got... I think by the time this podcast is out, this will be public. So I've got a new piece coming out in Apex Magazine in March, which should be pretty cool. I'm working on writing a novel at the moment, and I also got promoted to the managing editor position at Apex Book Company as well. So things are going along really, really well.
Good. Is there anything out? Any stories out that you like people to pick up?
Oh, let's see. I think the most recent one that I had come out was a microfiction piece in Crepuscular magazine. And before that, I had a flash fiction piece that came out in Apex as well. The microfiction piece is called In Defense of Forever, and the flash fiction piece is called Wet, Dry, Bitter. For anybody who is looking to read that second one, it's a little messed up. It's very, very full of body horror, so fair warning, enjoy that.
Okay, that's interesting. Are you doing any kind of going to any seminars or anything that you could see, or cons that you could see people at?
Yes, so I was just at World Fantasy Convention. I do plan to be at the Writers of the Future event this year as well, which should be pretty fun. Let's see, I believe I'm going to ReaderCon this year if I can, and I am also planning to go to World Fantasy Convention again because that was really fun last year. I think that's all the ones that I have planned so far. I'm hoping to make it to a couple more this year, but.
Cool. We're coming to the end, so I've asked you before, but in case it changed or you got new stuff, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. My website is leahning.com, and it's spelled exactly like you think it's spelled, like my name. No spaces, no dashes, no anything.
That's good. Easy. And what is your social media, and what are your handles on your social media?
Well, I like to try and keep it simple. I'm on Twitter, now apparently known as X, as Lia Ning, shockingly. I'm on Instagram as Lia Ning Writes. I'm not on there super often, but if you'd like pictures of my cat, you can go on
Me too.
Instagram. And I am also on Blue Sky as I think it's Lia Ning on there as well. Yeah, I got on there early enough that I didn't have to go with the Lia Ning Writes on Blue Sky.
That's good. That's good. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
No, thank you for having me on again. And if folks want to submit to Writers of the Future, they are at writersofthefuture.com. Go find those rules. Come submit. Let me read your stories.
Yeah. No, she's a nice girl, don't worry.
Maybe.
Yeah. Thank you, Leah.
Thanks, Sherry.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.